right. Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Ken. I assume you guys can hear me okay. Okay, thank you. Good. All right, well, we meet here every Sunday for our gathering, and I'm just thrilled to be here with you guys again this morning. The first part of our service is our opportunity to greet one another. Just as you would reach over the pew and greet each other in your brick-and-mortar church, we'll reach over our virtual pew and greet each other this morning. And we will do that to a song. And Lynn Johnson, if you will be so kind, as you always are, play us a lovely song while we say good morning.
To the calling of the mystic awakening in the flowering of the heart, everybody here melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love.
Thank you, Lynn. Again, good morning and welcome, everyone. The first order of business here, actually, let me turn my mic up a little bit if I can. If that's anything. Anywho, the first order of business here is to look at our statement of purpose and core value. Awakening Together is a universal assembly of peers dedicated to recognizing and embracing universal wisdom, regardless of the form in which it appears. We are also dedicated to recognizing the ways we deny universal wisdom by adopting personal beliefs and biases. We want to recognize these limitations so we can free ourselves from them and open to the continuous flow of universal wisdom. Our purpose: we are an assembly of equals joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, and many symbols. We seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. And then the core value that I believe is most representative of our talk this morning is number core value number 5. We accept all forms as temporary appearances permitted through enduring awareness of self. We live this value by honoring all appearances and all experiences while continually reflecting on changeless truth. Thanks, Barb, for posting those. Okay. So let's look at our announcement. One Mind Foundation is sponsoring a weekend of freedom retreat in Boone, North Carolina from October 5th through the 8th. The speakers include Regina Dawn Akers, John Mark Stroud, John Mundy, Jennifer Hadley, and more. If you are interested in this retreat, you can find full details by going to awakening-together.org and clicking on events. Weekend of Freedom Retreat. Awakening Together is offering a 6-week class on NTI, which begins the last week of August and runs through the first week of October. This class is offered at 2 different days and times. Reverend Regina Dawn Akers will facilitate a Tuesday morning class from 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 8:30 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Pacific. I will offer a class on Wednesday evenings from 9:30 to 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. Pacific. The primary purpose of this class is to use the teachings of NTI to help us notice ego, let it go, and refocus on spiritual wisdom. You can find more information and register for this class by going to awakening-together.org and clicking on the classes menu. We are currently working on a new Awakening Together website, and we are getting very close to being done with it. That means one day, probably within the next couple of weeks, you will go to our website and it will look completely different. One way you'll know it's still our website is that you will see the same familiar Awakening Together banner across the top. The menu structure is also similar, although it will be slightly changed. This website has been designed so that it is easier to use on smartphones and tablets than our current website. It also has bigger, bolder text that's easier to read. In addition, you will find gentle healing on the main menu bar on the new website instead of under audios and videos. We thought that this was a good idea since many of you read the course lesson and Regina's tip on a daily basis. We are working hard to bring the new website to you as soon as possible. And I can tell you that Regina has been working tirelessly day and night with our web designer, Bruce Rawls, to make this a reality. And I think you guys are going to be really, really thrilled with the new website. Next week is our movie discussion group. Let me find my information about it. There it is. If you haven't watched it yet, you still have a week to watch this month's movie, Welcome to Happiness. In this movie, the main character, Woody, is an apartment tenant in charge of monitoring a tiny doorway that exists in his closet. At random time, people knock on Woody's front door, and he reads them questions that appear without warning. If the visitor is deemed worthy, they are let into this tiny door, and what they see will change their life forever. Woody enjoys his job until he finds out the people who pass through that gateway are given the chance to undo one thing in their lives. This upsets Woody, who would gladly bring his parents back to life because he's never been approved to enter himself. Jealous, Woody starts to feel used by the miniature door and will not rest until he can enter. So I think that this will be a real fun movie, and I think that the ensuing discussions on our movie watchers group night will be lively and fun as well. So please come join us for that. And that is, again, that's August 27th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific. And the next announcement, typically the monthly satsang is on the third Sunday of each month. However, our August guest is Bentinho Massaro. Although he originally accepted for tonight, his schedule has changed and he is no longer available tonight. However, He is available. Bentinho is available on September the 3rd. So we simply reschedule the Sat Song for then. So please be sure and join us on September the 3rd for our monthly Sat Song with Bentinho. Our schedule for tonight includes the Mighty Companions, Reverend Glenn Ganaway and Yolanda Mapes at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, Kate Greaves at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Seven Steps to Awakening with Regina Dawn Akers at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, audios from Regina's Holy Spirit Guides series at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and then our mini-series with Craig Holiday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. Tonight is the third edition of the mini-series with Craig Holiday. Tonight's topic is Profound Strength, Profound Emptiness, Examining the Groundless Ground and the Unimaginable Silence of Our Being. And remember, if you're enjoying the mini-series with Craig, please remember you can donate to him by going to awakening-together.org and clicking on Donate, Support the Current Mini-Series. Again, thank you, Barb, for posting the link. And that ends our announcement. So I'm going to turn back to Lynn and ask her to play an opening song. This is an opportunity to really sink in, to kind of change gears here and sink in as we prepare ourselves for this morning's message. And so please take the mic, Lynn.
Got a package full of wishes, a time machine, a magic wand, a globe made out of gold. No instructions or commandments, laws of gravity or indecisions to uphold. Printed on the box I see, Acme's built a world to be. Take a chance, grab a piece, help me to believe it. What kind of world do you want? Think anything. Let's start at the start. Build a master. Be careful.
sweet song. That's perfect. Yeah, what kind of world do you want? Let's build a masterpiece. It's just sweet, sweet, sweet. Thank you, Lynn. So let's take a moment for prayer. And I want to start by expressing my gratitude again for this opportunity to teach what I would learn, to reflect on what I am learning, to reflect on my experience so that I can share that with others. I ask that I simply be a conduit for the truth, that I don't color the truth with my biases and opinions, that I'm simply a conduit, that I hear clearly, that I convey that clearly. Amen. I don't know. Is the volume low? Okay. All right. Yeah. Good. I'm glad. And Pink Primrose, maybe you want to get some earbuds. Sometimes that helps. Okay. I don't know that I have a way to raise that volume. I clicked on the little microphone thing. Fortunately, I still have my old copy of Pal Talk. And I've clicked and clicked and clicked, so I think that's as loud as it's going to get. I might try and pull this microphone a little bit closer. And I hear some folks saying it's okay there, but we'll do what we can to accommodate. Okay. So, it's Connie's turn. I always have to look at my order of service, and I look down and I see it's time for our inspirational reading by a member. Connie is going to be reading this morning from a YouTube video transcript. The YouTube video is Mary Reed's video called Wake Up, Enough of Them. And I was so taken with this video that I determined to use it for my reading this morning. In order to do that, I needed to transcribe it, which I did. I sent the transcript to Mary Reed, hoping that it might be useful to her. And she told me to pass along her greetings to all of you. She said, I send all of you much love. So, without further ado, Connie, who's sitting here beside me, is going to take this chair and read us our message, our reading for this morning. Or you can do the whole message if you want. Right. Wake up. Enough of them. Hi, everyone. In light of recent events that have been happening in our world, I decided it's time for me to make a video to offer my thoughts and observations on some paths that can lead to healing. I don't mean paths that lead to something that just feels good. I mean paths that lead to genuine, deep, meaningful healing. Now, I will warn you with this video, my intention is to literally turn your world inside out, to lead you to a very powerful and profound insight and understanding. This may seem kind of dizzying, and it may make your head hurt, and you may feel deeply ponderous. That's all right. Just hang in there with it, because I promise you the awakening, it is very much worth it. I'll start with two lines from a recent Facebook post that I did after the events in Charlottesville, and that I said something like, the sheet, quote unquote, the sheets are off for all of us now, and we're looking at each other face to face. So when someone looks at you, what do you want them to see? The problem or the answer? End quote. Now, while on the surface that may seem like common sense and a very nice thing to think about, I mean those lines much more deeply than people think, and it's related to the teaching of oneness. For those of you who don't know, I'm going to give you some examples of what the concept of oneness means, according to me. So let's say, wherever you are, look at a person somewhere around you. If you can't find a person, just find a thing. It doesn't matter. An inanimate object. And think about where you see that person or thing. Where do you experience them? Now, you probably think you're experiencing them over there. But in fact, the only place you experience them, the only place you see them, is inside you, within you. That, it can't be any other way. Your brain is taking this reflection of light and it's translating it through your nervous system, translating all these patterns and whatever, and coming out with a translation of statistics, right? Some colors and shapes and location, all of these things that you are going to assign to that person or object. But all of that happened inside of you. There's no other physical experience other than what's happening within you. So let's say that the lights suddenly go out, and now you can't see that person or thing. You have no internal awareness of that thing except in memory. But even that mental process is only inside you. If that person calls out, the hearing that happens, the physical processing, is still only inside you. You see? There's nothing going on except inside of you. To let that sink in a little bit further, I'll give you a few more examples. Let's say that you eat a carrot. When you put that carrot in your mouth, the taste of the carrot is an experience inside you. It's not inside the carrot. You can't experience the taste of the carrot that's in the ground because your taste buds are not having an internal experience of it. It's all happened inside of you. If a baby puts its hands on your head, on your hand, the softness that you feel is coming from sensations on your own skin. It's not within the baby. And so, if a baby is over there and you're not touching the baby, you don't have an experience of the softness. You may have a memory of it, but again, the mental process is only within you. If I tell you about a car crash that I saw, you might immediately have empathy towards the people involved, but you have no empathy towards those car crash victims until you have a mental awareness of it or a hearing about it. It still happened only inside you, you see? So you can So you can only have a mental awareness of life with being at one with life. It is oneness that allows us to experience life. It's the same thing with what we think about what we experience, right? All of the mental processes going on is only within us. Our thoughts, our feelings, our beliefs about what we're seeing, about what we are experiencing, it's all a mental process. It's all a mental experience inside of us. Understand that. Think about what happens when we see or hear somebody else engaging in conflict or fear or hatred. The experience of their hatred, we're only experiencing within us. We're also only experiencing the anger and the sadness and the blame and everything else within us. But it's all within us. So our experience of others' hatred is simply an experience playing out inside of us. That's a very, very important thing to think about. The same thing is true when we see people acting out in kindness or in compassion or concern or whatever. It's still all playing out within us. And our feelings of feeling good and all this is still just playing out within us. So when we experience our world outside of us, it's just a result of a physical processing of the collective energies that we're in and what those energies look like, smell like, taste like, feel like, etc. are the results of patterns of the energies that are in the collective mind. That's it. Because we're all seeing the exact same kind of shape of chair, etc. Whether it's within me or within you, that chair is going to look the same shape because we're sharing the collective mind patterns. But the mental processing that's happening is a result of our own internal patterns, our own mental patterns that are going on inside of us. And that tells us what we think, feel, or believe about what we're experiencing physically. So you can see what you experience and feel about the world out there is all a reflection of the world in here. And you, the output that you have, your expression, the outcome of your own mental processing, is a reflection to and for the world. Now, the most important thing to understand here is your mental processing part. And so, why is that important? It's important because whatever people feel, see, or hear from you becomes their own internal awareness experience. And then they will interpret it according to their own mental processing patterns. So you are giving them an opportunity. You are showing them what's possible. You can either show them what already exists in their mental patterns, or you can show them what is possible to shift to, right? You can be that expression of change. Gandhi's words, quote, "Be the change you wish to see in the world," end quote. That's what this means. So now you understand that. I have a few questions I want you to consider. Number one, what am I intentionally engaging in within myself, and why? If you are constantly watching and reading news reports about conflict, fear, and hatred out there, why do you seek the experience of this constant awareness of conflict, fear, and hatred within yourself? Here's where you need to really be honest about your motivations, because whatever you are intentionally bringing into your experience is yours to process and no one else's. You brought that into your experience for a reason, which leads to the next question. What are you aiming for with your mental process? What are you aiming to more deeply entrench something you already think, feel, or believe? Or are you seeking to more deeply learn and understand and see things in a new way within? Are you aiming to process your own fear or trust? Are you aiming to process your own judgment or compassion, and so on? Again, you've got to be very honest here and consider both why and how you are using any particular experience. So you've got to dig deep and examine the outcomes you're seeking for yourself, which in turn will then be what you have to offer to others. Which then leads to the last question, which is, what am I aiming to reflect to others? Are you aiming to offer reflection you think is helpful? What others do with that reflection they see is not your concern. Your responsibility is the awareness of your offering intention. So once this understanding of oneness sinks deeply into your heart, you'll be able to see that by being hyper aware of your true intentions, you can discipline yourself to direct your mental processing consistently towards compassion and understanding and healing within yourself. And then that becomes consistently the reflection that you offer of compassion and understanding and healing for others. So at this time in our world, for most people, at this level of understanding that they need, later when you recognize very easily this living as oneness, you'll be able to see that you've never been any aspect of the physical aspects of the body or mental aspects of the mind, that you have always been, in fact, the love that is oneness itself. But that's another video. First things first. So I hope this has been helpful. Thank you very much for your time listening to this and your consideration in taking this in. Namaste. Pardon me. Thank you, Connie. I already said thank you and kissed her, but I thought y'all might want to hear me say thank you. Okay. It's so lovely to have Connie be here with me this morning. Connie is just such an incredible influence in my life. She is gentle and loving and kind, and she demonstrates so clearly for me these principles that we hear and we teach on a regular basis, and I'm just really, really grateful for her. Okay. Ken has a copy of that transcript, and I'm sure that Ken will add the link as part of the post. Thanks so much, Ken. Another sweet Leo. That's you. I'm like, who's Leo? But I got it. All right. Let me get my paperwork together here. Okay, well, this isn't, it's always an interesting journey, and, I just never know how things are going to come in preparation for these messages. I can tell you that that my experience with this message once again affirms that I always have what I need. that I am always given the next step in my progression, if you will, if there is such a thing, that I'm always given what it is that I need to focus my attention on for my further unfolding. I'm always given that next step. And this is true here. I have been experiencing some difficulty with Connie and others. Imagine that. It's not just Connie. It must be me. But it hasn't been always smooth, you know. And the interesting part about it with me and Connie is that I know that we both really, really want this. We both really want to be the change. We really both want to be the expression of love in our world. And so when we grate against each other, when we attempt to communicate and can't, it's just amazing. It's like, what is going wrong here? It's always a good place to look for what needs to happen next for me. But in having this experience with Connie and with others, and in preparing for today's message, I began to think about an admonition that I heard several years ago when I read the Four Agreements. And one of those agreements was, don't take anything personally. As this reading, Marge says, beautiful reading, Connie.
Thank you, Mom.
As this reading indicates, one of the best reasons not to take anything personally is because, you know, nothing is ever as it appears to you. You know, we're working with two filters here. We're working with the filter of the person whose, you know, actions you find upsetting or words or whatever, so that person is filtering the world through their interpretation, you know, based on their history and their habits and their conditioning. And then the product that they deliver in their words or their actions is then I take in and I filter through my interpretations and all my biases and past and conditioning. So nothing is ever as it seems. It's always filtered through these two filters. I want to tell you another little story about the preparation of this message before I go forward. So as I was looking at this yesterday, I'm like, you know, I knew that I had these things that I really wanted to tie in, and I'm struggling to make the connections. I know that it's all in there. Of course, it's always all in there. If you can open enough to the message. But early on in the day, there was a video that came on of Mary Read. You know how YouTube, you watch a video and then YouTube puts another one up. It's the next in line, and it was a message from her that I want to discuss more as we go forward, called "What Love Really Is." I was like, oh yes, I definitely want to watch that. Well, I worked with A Course in Miracles, and I want to talk about that. But I worked with A Course in Miracles. I listened to an old talk of mine that I had given that I thought was relevant. And then at the end of the day, when I laid down in bed, I finally listened to that video, and I went, oh, yes, this is it. This is a unifying factor. So I will try to get you to that unifying factor here. So, and I guess I tell you all of this because I'm thinking that this may seem somewhat disjointed as I get to where I'm going. So bear with me, please. And Kathy Mary Reed is, we did a, Kathy's asking who Mary Reed is. We did a sad song with Mary Reed, I don't know, right before we went to India. If you don't remember that sad song, we'll go back and listen to it because I think it's really good. And another interesting part of that is what Mary Reed said in this subsequent video, this video, What Love Really Is. Is the same thing that she said in that sad song, but I couldn't hear it when she said it then. Even though I was right there with her and asking her questions about it, I don't feel now like I really could hear what she was saying. But when I heard it this time, I heard it, and I hope to pass that message along here today. So let me look here again at the reading, It's significant that this video was prepared by Mary, as she says, in light of recent events that have been happening in our world. Now, that would include, you know, the terrorist attack is what I want to call it, in Charlottesville and the one in Barcelona. And these themselves are just a symptom of the increasing conflict that we see in our world. And I would note that as in introduction here, Mary Reed says that she wants to talk about some paths that can lead to healing. She doesn't mean leading to something that just feels good, but genuine, deep, meaningful healing. And I think that if we can hear this message, we can begin to participate in this genuine, deep, and meaningful healing of the world. So the first thing that she wants us to recognize my message is titled, It Really Is All You. That is what she wants us to look at first. Everything is happening inside of us. So that's, you know, when I'm talking about these filters, we have to know. So when Connie says something to me and I go, why would she say that? I'm putting my spin on what it was that she said. This is my desire is to take this personally. Otherwise, I wouldn't be looking for what's wrong with that statement. As I said in preparing for this talk, I listened to an old message that I had done, and that was seeing through the eyes of wholeness. And in that message, I talked about the opportunity to, in every situation, either do what egos do, which is to look what's wrong with the situation, or to be, as Connie talks about, to be in the spirit of the situation, to look for the wholeness in the situation, to be the wholeness in the situation. And if I'm perceiving a lack, if I'm perceiving some love missing from that situation, then it's my job to insert the love into that situation. And not in the, well, if she's not going to do it, I'm going to do it kind of way, right? It's like if it's missing, if there's a call for love, it's my call to extend the love within me into that situation. So if there's something missing, it's missing inside of me. Apparently, of course, there's never anything really missing. But if I'm experiencing some kind of lack in that regard, it's up to me to supply the love. that I perceive to be missing in the situation, not to go, what's wrong with her? That reminds me of a Facebook post that I that Nikki Dobson posted like yesterday or the day before. And again, like I say, you know, we always get exactly what we need. So I saw this post right after I'd had a little tiff with my husband, and I'm like, wow, this is perfect. In her Facebook post, in introduction to her Facebook post, Nikki said, "If I look honestly and blamelessly, I can see where I have my own inner work. If someone says to me that I hurt them, and in return I am unable to take an honest inventory where they might be right, and instead look at where they are at fault, where they are at fault, I am still a part of the blame game." Yeah, and again, if I'm doing what egos do, I'm looking to see, well, doesn't he understand that you should take everything lovingly, or right, that I meant, can he see beyond my words to my intentions? I was, you know, it's like, it's that outward focus. I'm blaming him. Where is he lacking? And, you know, and spiritual egos, that can get really twisted. But the question has to be, where is the work? You know, where am I failing to supply that love? What was it that I, you know, and, okay, I'll be more specific here. I told Tom, and I thought in a cute and loving way, I said, so after the service tomorrow, you and me and Connie are going to go to your favorite restaurant and have brunch. And he said, and Tom, you know, he's a real homebody. He doesn't get out a lot. And he said to me, he's like, it would be nice to be invited. And so I get all bent out of shape. you know, don't, can't you see that I'm just, you know, that I'm trying to be funny and loving. And but that was my opportunity to take inventory. He's right. It would be nice to be invited. It would be nice for me to be gentle. That was an opportunity, and I believe that every situation is an opportunity for me to be gentle, for me to be loving, for me to extend love. His statement was an opportunity for me to look within, not look without. For me to see where I can be a greater extension of love, not to see where he's at fault. Oh, I had a book I was going to look at. I don't see it in front of me. It's in the bedroom next to my next to the chair on the floor. Thank you, Connie. thank you so much. Yeah, I am not a victim of the world. I see, that's right. I am co-creator. Yeah, so this is, thank you again for getting the book for me. This is exactly on point here. I'm looking at Gifts from A Course in Miracles. And it says, understand that you do not respond to anything directly, but to your interpretation of it. Your interpretation thus becomes the justification for the response. And so that was exactly my experience with Tom yesterday, you know, and then I get all bent out of shape, right? I'm justified then in being in going into the conflict rather than going into the love, because he should have known that I was trying to be loving. You see how twisted that was. But I believe that what Mary Reed is directing us towards is this idea. It says perception selects and makes the world you see. Perception selects and makes the world you see. It literally picks it out as the mind directs. The laws of size and shape and brightness would hold, perhaps, if other things were equal. They are not equal. For what you look for, you are far more likely to discover than what you would prefer to overlook. Again, it's that idea. Am I looking for division or am I looking for unity? After Rebecca, Becky Gibson spoke last week, I wrote down, and I don't know if this is a direct quote from Becky or or just what came across to me as she spoke, but I wrote down when she spoke, where am I being intentional and where am I not being intentional? And so much of what I do is where I'm not being, where I go unconscious, where I'm not being intentional. So what I do when I'm not being intentional with my spiritual understanding, where I'm not being intentional, I go back into my habit energy, the energy of ego. And what do I do when I go back into that energy? I'm looking for division. You know, it's not like, you know, I'm a big bad guy that comes in and is mean to. No, it's a very, very, very subtle thing where I look for division. And it's easy to slip into if I'm not being intentional. And by being intentional, what I mean is extending the love that I am. I'll quote again from A Course in Miracles, and I'm quoting from the book Gifts from A Course in Miracles, there it says, if love is sharing, how can you find it except through itself? Offer it and it will come to you because it is drawn to itself, but offer attack and love will remain hidden, for it can only live in peace. And this quote, look about the world and see the suffering there. And that's, and of course, this is what Mary's talk is based on, is the suffering that we look upon and see in the world. And that suffering includes the conflict that we're experiencing and the conflict that I'm experiencing in my own world, as well as the conflict that I'm looking out and seeing in the world. Look about the world and see the suffering there. Is not your heart willing to bring your weary brothers rest? They must await your own release. They stay in chains until you are free. This brings us back to it really is all you. It's this mind that has to heal. It's this mind that has to offer the love to bridge that gap. And that cannot be done by meeting conflict with conflict. You know, it's very popular these days. If you look, take 5 minutes and look at Facebook, you'll see. It's very popular these days to hate the haters. But that's not what is called for. What is called for is that extension of love. Good morning, Tom. And again, if something that I had said in that previous talk stood out to me, and that is that every experience is an opportunity to experience wholeness if you bring that expectation to it. Instead of looking for the division, if I'm going, how do I experience wholeness in this situation? Where is my opportunity to experience wholeness in this situation. And I'm not talking about, you know, the initial situation, we bop in and we're like, oh, I'm all love and everything. And then somebody says something, like I just described with this encounter with Tom. And then somebody says something, and I go straight to division, right? Instead of seeing every opportunity, including the ones that gall, the ones that seem to rub you the wrong way, every opportunity is every experience is an opportunity to experience wholeness. If I remember that, if I bring that expectation to it, okay, here's an opportunity to experience wholeness. Let me do that. In her subsequent video, or what was subsequent in my little world, Mary reads what love really is. She goes into how we do that, or how we frame this in our experience, so that we can do that. But I want to look for another minute before I go directly to that teaching some more of this that we see with Wake Up, Enough of Them, quote-unquote them. She says, so when we experience our world outside of us, it's just the result of a physical processing of the collective energies that we're in and what those energies look like, smell like, taste like, feel like, etc., are the result of patterns of the energies that are in the collective mind. She says, that's it, because we're all seeing the exact same kind of shape of chair, etc., whether it's within me or within you, that chair is going to look the same shape because we're sharing the collective mind patterns. But the mental processing that's happening is a result of our own internal patterns, our own mental patterns that are going on inside of us. And that tells us what we think, feel, or believe about what we're experiencing physically. So you can see what you experience and feel about the world out there is all a reflection of the world in here. And you, the output that you have, your expression, the outcome of your own mental processing is a reflection to and for the world. Now, what you may hear in here is Regina's teaching of the code. Which is the larger result of this perceptual loop that we talk about. What I think I see, what I see I experience, what I experience I think. You know, we get stuck in this loop, right? And we do this on a larger scale in the collective, right? The collective mind. So what I experience, I think, and then I feed that back into the collective mind. So if you cuss me out and I cuss you back, I'm feeding that energy into to the collective mind. I'm spewing more garbage back into the energies that we have available to us to draw upon. It works on this collective scale the same way it works on our own little microcosm, our own little miniature scale here. So what Mary's encouraging us to do is change what we feed back into those collective energies. So that as you do that, it's not just about, you know, whether I continue to have a little fight with Tom. It's what am I feeding back into the overall energy that we all have to draw on. It's all energy. And if we are all one, and I assure you that we are, this is the one energy that we're all experiencing. And I can choose to continue to perpetuate conflict by hating the haters, or by responding to people who seem to be angry with me with anger, by meeting conflict with conflict, or I can be the love that I am, and I can feed that energy back into the collective consciousness. But it really is all me. It really is all up to me, because the only place that I can do the work is right here within me. So she asked us some questions that she asked us to contemplate. What am I intentionally engaging in within myself and why? And that's a good place to start. You know, what am I feeding myself that I am then going to feed on and feed back into the collective consciousness? So, Tom and I were just having this talk, and he's like, you know, this is why I don't watch the news. He's like, because I don't know how to watch the news and not be drawn into the conflict. And I don't know, and I watch news, and I tell myself that I watch the news because, you know, it's pertinent to my occupation, and it'll help me understand what's going on. But I'm not sure that's what I'm really doing. So I'm getting the opportunity here to really look at why I'm watching the evening news and why it is that I seem to be drawn to these stories about how awful Trump is. Pardon me if you're a Republican, I apologize. but it gives me the opportunity to really look at what I'm engaging in, what I'm intentionally engaging in within myself and why. She says, here's where you need to be really honest about your motivations, because whatever you're intentionally bringing into your experience is yours to process and no one else's. Now, I want to say again, I was just talking about Tom saying this is why I don't watch the news and I don't know how to process it. I have heard someone, and that someone would be Regina, talk about watching the news and holding the space and being the peace for the people that she sees suffering in the news. And if that's why you're watching the news, have at it, right? That's a good reason. In fact, have at it for whatever reasons, but be honest with yourself about what your reasons are. She says, this leads to the next question. What are you aiming for with your mental process? Are you aiming to more deeply entrench something you already think, feel, or believe? Or are you seeking to more deeply learn and understand and see things in a new way within? So if you're watching the news, are you going, yeah, that's right, I knew those idiots were idiots, right? I knew that Trump should never be elected, or whatever it is that you, I knew this, right? Am I feeding and maintaining the egoic self? Yes, trying to justify my pre-existing beliefs, Kathy says. And thereby feeding my egoic self? Or am I attempting to see things from my new perspective? Am I attempting to bring love into this situation in my own mind? You know, it's not like the whole world's sitting there watching the news with me, but they are. Right? Because what I get when I watch that news screen, the emotions that I have, the things that I carry with me as a result of watching the news, that's what I feed back into the world. And if I watch the news and I can't feed the love that I am back into the world, well, then maybe I shouldn't be watching the news. Maybe I shouldn't be bringing that experience into my immediate awareness if all I'm going to do is create more of it. She asked again, she asked more specific questions for us. Are you aiming to process your own fear or trust? Are you aiming to process your own judgment or compassion? She tells us to consider both why and how you're using any particular experience. And again, she says, she reinforces this idea. So you've got to dig deep and examine what outcomes you're seeking for yourself, which in turn will then be what you have to offer to others. She says, then that's her last question. What am I aiming to reflect to others? You see, and this goes back to Becky's question. What am I being intentional about? And hopefully, as we become more and more skilled at this, we become intentional about everything. What am I aiming to reflect to others? And remember, I reflect to others always. Are you aiming to offer reflection you think is helpful? As she says, by being hyper aware of your true intentions, you can discipline yourself to direct your mental processing consistently towards compassion and understanding and healing within yourself. And then that becomes consistently the reflection that you offer of compassion and understanding and healing for others. Okay, so this is where I want to talk about the second video of Mary Reeves, and I want you guys to watch it. it's fabulous. It's called What Love Really Is, available on YouTube. But she talks about her own mystical experience, and she discussed this with us in her satsang. And she talked about encountering this block of negativity within herself, and then seeing it writ large, right, in the universe, seeing it as this like black dot in the middle of the universe, and the universe is all love. And she's like, you know, fussing at this dot. Why are you here? I want to get rid of you. Go away. She's like, with all this love surrounding it, why can't we make this go away? And then she realized, and then it was revealed to her that this energy of wanting the bad to go away is the separation energy. And that's why this message is so critical for us at this time, because, again, what we're doing by meeting conflict with conflict is creating more conflict. By resisting the conflict, we create more conflict. She says that each and everything we label as bad is a cry for union. She says, and this is the separation paradigm. She says, we use everything that is good in order to bring in the bad, and then we reject it. This is the paradigm of self-rejection, of separation. We want the good in us to make the bad go away. And so when we talk about bringing love into all these situations, and Mary talks about this in this video, she says, well, we have to know what love is. You know, what is love? She tells us that divine love is a state of being that is unconditional. There's no conditions imposed on anything. That is equal, a state of equality, that everything is equal in its possibility and potential to exist. It's a state of freedom, of pure freedom to express what it is as it is. The ultimate acceptance of what is in this present moment. So when we think that we're being loving by being intolerant of intolerance, we're really using the model of the tiny man idea, of the self-rejection, of us rejecting part of ourselves. And rejection is the very thing that gives separation its life, that leads to separation consciousness. So our job is to get our being, our field, in alignment with God or in alignment with divine love, so that everything that comes into or arises in our field will be brought in unconditionally, will be accepted as an equal, will be free to exist as it is, with no oppression or suppression. This should sound familiar to those of you and those of us in the gentle healing class. This is essentially the loving all method. In the loving all method, as you know, we are to love everything. If you can't genuinely love it, emotionally accept it. If you can't accept it, emotionally allow it. As Regina tells us, those choices lead to freedom from suffering. And they do that by undoing the separation energy. It's interesting. What's coming to mind is I saw a little video clip of Tina Fey on Saturday Night Live saying, saying stay home from the marches. let the haters, let you know, the white supremacists or whoever, let them holler holler into the air. Don't give them something to push back against. So this is not a unique idea to spirituality. What we want to do is we want to remember that, again, as I said before, every experience is an opportunity to experience and to promote wholeness if you bring that expectation to it. And we do that by bringing ourselves into alignment with the divine energy. And what is that energy? We love it. We choose compassion, understanding, and healing. We don't meet conflict with conflict. So our first step is don't take anything personally. No, it's all occurring within me. And not only is it occurring within me, that's the only place where I have the power to undo the conflict. I undo the conflict by loving what is, by allowing people to be who they are and loving them, by allowing people the freedom to be who they are. By recognizing that everything is equal in its possibility and potential to exist. By not needing things to be different than they are. And I have often said here that the tiny man idea was this idea that we wanted things to, well, and of course I get it from NTI and of course in Miracles and other places, but we wanted things to be different than they were. Different than oneness, right? And that's the way I have understood this message in the past. But what I'm understanding now is, you could just stop at the word different. We want things to be different. That's the looking for division that we talked about. That's the, instead of seeking for the wholeness, I'm seeking for things to be different. That's the opposite of the loving all method. I need some. What do I need to be different in this situation? What do I need to be different in this situation? That's the tiny man idea over and over and over and over again all day long. And the alternate choice, the choice that we're asked to participate in, is to love everything, to allow everything, to step into the energy of divine love, which is a state of being unconditional, equal, free, and unified. And I see that I have gone long over my time. I thank you for being here. Thank you for allowing me to share. I love you dearly. I will ask Lynn to play our closing song, and then we'll have a half an hour for us to continue to join and share our impressions. Thank you so much.